Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fifth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoop Show here on your WNIN 88.3 and live streaming on WNIN.org. You can give us a call tonight at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Walker, Evan. Evan Walker, we are here for season five. I can't believe it. It's earlier this year. The fans of Red Blue Hoops requested this special episode, and we aim to please down here, don't we?
We do. We've had a great off season.
A lot of training.
A lot of training.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of professional training by Steve Berger and Maria on our radio skills. We'll see how all that training pans
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. I feel pretty good about it.
There's been a lot of activity that brought us here tonight in this basketball season so far and during this past summer. But before we get into this season, we have to do a very quick review of how our seasons ended last year, because for our regular listeners, as you know, the last show typically hits right before the SEC basketball tournament and before March Madness.
That's right.
So, Chad, real quickly.
And it could be real quick if you want it to
be. How did you guys finish last year?
All right, I'll give a couple of notes here. It was 16-15 on the year, 8-8 in the Big Ten. The season ended with a loss to Rutgers in the Big Ten tournament, which, if you remember that game, folks, Indiana went out to a 24-8 lead, and I thought we were going to roll them. That was actually after one of our shows, the last one, I think. Ran home and watched that.
That's right.
Fell apart in the second half and didn't play well and got bounced. I think as a whole, Archie started to establish the defensive philosophies, which was good. That we did see improvement from the beginning of the year to the end. That's what you want to see. Juwan Morgan was an all-conference player. He established himself as a leader. He obviously came back for his senior year, which we'll talk more about that here in a minute. And lastly, after you guys gave me so much grief, oh, he's going to Vanderbilt, silent commit to Kansas. As I predicted all year long, we got Romeo, so that was pretty exciting stuff.
That was very exciting for Hoosier Nation, for sure. And we'll touch on that Romeo recruitment a little bit later.
Yes, we will. What about you guys?
Okay, Kentucky. So this time last year, a lot of my Kentucky friends were getting a little bit agitated, a little bit nervous about the Kentucky basketball team. I predicted this time last year that we were going to lose double-digit games. Ended up doing so.
You did say that.
But the team did improve dramatically February heading into March. And they backed that up by going to St. Louis and winning the SEC Tournament Championship.
The Kentucky Invitational.
The Kentucky Invitational. That, it was right? Awesome in St. Louis. I mean, obviously a lot of Kentucky fans. But the big hype was, if you remember, Missouri-Kentucky matchup with the return of Michael Porter Jr. They choked their first game against intern Walker. Who was it? Who did Missouri lose to in the tournament?
Georgia.
That's right. So we played Georgia our first game. Mm-hmm. That's right. And played well. Good
game. You
guys
did. I watched that tournament.
Then we got to the Saturday semifinal against Alabama. That was a fantastic game. Right before tip-off, interesting story. On, I guess it was Friday before we played Georgia, Auburn got beat by Alabama, and Bruce Pearl got into a little bit of a scuffle in the handshake line with the strength trainer from Alabama.
Okay.
I just happened to be looking down there when it happened.
You told me that story.
It was fun. Anyway, so then Kentucky goes into the finals on Sunday. We had to miss it. Had to come home early this year due to Walker having to go to Indianapolis for a school function. But Kentucky validated, and they won the title by beating Tennessee in a heck of a game. And Tennessee now is a top 10 team.
Is that when Gabriel hit like 6 or 7 three-pointers?
That was on Saturday against Alabama.
That was ridiculous. Yeah. He played really well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just blew up in that tournament.
Yeah,
so that kicked us off into March Madness. Came in there, played well the first weekend. The bracket fell apart. Opened up.
Uh-huh.
Once again, we were in the toughest bracket. That's the seventh time in the last 10 years that we've been in the toughest bracket statistically. I know you gave me some grief about that, saying Kentucky
fans
always...
The toughest bracket's the one you don't make, and that's what we're used to the last couple
years. That's true.
So we got to fix that.
But man, we were just sitting there going, looking at the Final Four, looking at our chops, and we laid an egg against Kansas State. P.J. Washington played like just a beast, but he missed how many free throws, Walker?
I think 11 or 12.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. I think the team missed 18 free throws that night to lose a one-possession game. So our season ended in the Sweet 16. I thought we had a really good chance to make the Final Four, but it did not happen. Ended up having Villanova and Michigan in the finals. And guess what? Lowest-rated title game in history of March Madness.
Yeah.
So when you don't have those big-name teams in there, folks, people don't tune in.
Shout out to Villanova, though. They do it right up there, it seems like. And what is that, 2 of 3 now for
them? Two of three.
They got blown out by Michigan earlier and now to Furman, Villanova.
How about Furman? Yeah.
My best friend from childhood, Chris Rhodes, a.k.a. Runt, who now lives in Owensboro, he was a wide receiver for Furman. So the Paladins in the top 25.
What is the mascot?
Paladins.
What is that, I wonder?
It looks like a squire, like a knight.
Okay.
Yeah. I really don't know what a paladin is.
That's a good tidbit right there.
But anyway, so that was a wrap-up of last season. So now we're going to skip ahead and look at the summer. We had a real exciting trip to the Bahamas.
Yep.
And Kentucky looked fantastic down there. I heard that. They were underdogs in every game, and they went undefeated 4-0. They beat a team. Walker, what was the name of it?
Mega B-Max.
Mega B-Max.
Okay.
In English.
Gotcha. And Kentucky rolled them pretty well, and then two nights later, that same team rolled Michigan. So we felt really good coming home from the Bahamas.
Yep.
That has not translated so far this regular season for the Kentucky Wildcats, Chad.
Well, so I got a few friends that I talk basketball with a ton. Both are IU fans, but we started talking about Kentucky, obviously, and my thought was, Kentucky what? They lost their top 6 players from last year. Is that an accurate statement? Counting Sasha Kalea-Jones transferring?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the returning players were Nick Richards, P.J. Washington, and Quade Green. Is that
correct.
Accurate?
That is. Well, and Brad Calipari.
And Brad Calipari. That's
but
true.
But he's redshirting.
But at the time, he was playing.
That's right. So I looked at that as, okay, their top 6 are gone. The 3 players that are coming back, I haven't been impressed with Richards. P.J. Washington, solid. Quade's been up and down. So I thought, okay, it's going to boil down to how these freshmen.
Right.
Now, you did get Travis. That was
a big transfer.
But where you guys are, were you preseason ranked number 1 or 2?
2.
Okay. I was telling people between 10 and 15, and that's not a knock on Kentucky. That's just what I thought from losing what you guys lost.
Yep.
And, we'll see how it goes.
Well, coming out of the Bahamas, and there are 2 people in Lexington that I will not name tonight that I trust their opinion. They're very smart basketball people that I talk to.
Okay.
And this fall, coming out of the summer, the conversations that I was getting from them was very positive. And the reports were the defense was going to be really good this year. And I don't know if they're watching a different team practice or what, because our defense has been terrible.
That's interesting.
And these are, I'm telling you, these are
people that know.
I trust their opinion without question. So I predicted, 3 losses for this team. I've upped it to 5 on our bet, Chad. By the way, for our listeners, we have a bet this season that if Kentucky loses 5 or less, Chad owes me lunch. More than 5, I owe him lunch.
Yep.
And I'm going to expand that bet. Walker, the intern, and I, after the season's over, if Kentucky loses more than 5 games, we're going to pick our favorite Indiana caller of the year, and I will offer them to join us for lunch.
All right.
Did I agree to this?
No. This is live radio, buddy.
Okay.
You're negotiating right now. So anyway. Again, if Kentucky loses more than 5 games, I'm taking Chad to lunch, and we're taking our favorite Indiana caller along with Walker as well.
Do you want me to reciprocate that? Or how do you?
Nah.
Let me throw this out there, though, on predictions.
Okay.
I did say before the season that IU would go 25-6, so I'm going to stick with that.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
25-6 for
the
Hoosiers.
So up to this point, the only game that I have gotten wrong is Arkansas. I thought we would win that game. So
I watched that game driving home from Missouri on my iPhone, and the first half was ugly in that game. really ugly.
It was.
Indiana-Arkansas. But that's the way Arkansas likes to play that
style.
They do.
They do.
And the big kid.
Oh, my gosh. Gifford you guys, or Gafford. Or...
The mistake I think you guys made, he was gassed at the end of the game.
He was.
I mean, he couldn't even get up and down the court. Didn't take enough advantage of that.
Yep.
And he ended up making some big plays to win that game. But so Kentucky this year, I guess we're 7-1 right now. To my surprise, we're ranked 15th in KenPom, which I think is a little bit too high based on my eye test.
Yep.
Our KenPom offensive ranking is 12, which I can get because we're averaging 84 a game. But our defense is ranked 37th. And I promise you we're not the 37th best defensive team in the country. So I don't know if it's because it's early. We have held some teams to the 40s. But Duke beat us 118 to what?
84.
118-84, we were there.
Zion's still dunking.
He's still dunking and hitting threes. They hit their first five threes on us. They rolled us.
He's a beast.
We were up there in Indianapolis for that game. Walker and my wife Allison and my brother flew in from Atlanta, had some cousins up there. Actually ended up having about 30 people total.
No kidding.
It was a fantastic time up until the game tipped off.
Yeah, it happens.
With that being said, the – word I get out of Lexington from people like Mike Pratt is the psychological impact from that game has been longer lasting than Cal Perry expected. I mean, it really shook some of their ego, confidence slash ego, you know, which players need a little bit of.
Yep.
So long lasting effect from that game. And I think it's really hard for Cal Perry to deal with this because, as you know, he's a defensive coach. His team's in, you know, historically finished in the top 20 defensively, but I don't know what he's going to do because they can't guard anybody.
Yeah.
They really can't.
I felt like that a guy, I think it was my dad actually, said that IU or that Kentucky-Duke game basically turned into a McDonald's All-American game. Those guys got a lot of confidence. The Duke guys were like, okay, we're playing guys that we know and we think we're better than. And next thing you know, they're hitting all their shots. Zion's getting his dunks, and they're scoring at will.
Yeah, when they hit those first five threes, I felt like, well, if we can get this game back to 10. And then in the second half, we started doing that, and then Duke just flipped the switch again.
Kelton Johnson played well.
He did. He didn't back down. And you know what? And we knew come the season that he would not back down.
Right.
He's a dog. So, right. And your guys' record now, again?
7-2.
And your losses are Duke and Arkansas.
That's right.
And you've already won two Big Ten games.
We have. So, just a real quick recap. We 7-2, like you said, 2-0 in the Big Ten. A beatdown of Marquette. They were ranked 23rd, I think, at the time. We beat them by like 23 points. Played a great game. I mean, just really a lot of confidence. It was pretty impressive. Lost at Arkansas and at Duke, like you said. IU and North Carolina are one of two teams that have only played three true road games. Go ahead.
No, just let's line up in your microphone real good there.
Oh, okay.
That'd be good.
All right, sorry about that.
Burger's giving me the stink eye in there. Like, guys, keep your microphones lined up.
Injuries have killed us this year. Unbelievable. Just one thing after another. Every player on the team has been nicked up to some kind of degree. So, flip side of that, finally coming back. I think that's going to help us. We're doing some things well. KenPom, 23rd, 36 in offense, 22 in defense.
That's right.
So, that's good. Can't hit free throws. But
What about that?
I showed you that statistic.
Yeah.
So, for the fans out there, look at Archie Miller as a coach. When he inherited Dayton in 2012, that free throw shooting team, or that team shot, they were number two in the country at 77% from the free throw line. And then since then, Archie's teams have been 220, 310, 225, 275, 285. So
he's not a good free throw shooting coach.
That is not, I don't know what to make of that. But anyway, we have to improve that.
I promise you, you need to hire Crean back as a shooting coach. I've been saying that. Now for 2 years, that Kareem can coach shooting for sure.
Yeah,
we'll go to the phone lines real quick.
Let's
CP for the first call of the year.
Shooter,
going to line one on the Red Blue Hoops hotline. Shooter, welcome to Red Blue Hoops season 5. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Evan. Chad, don't get me started on the free throws. Evan, I wanted to call you and tell you, man, you're my favorite guy. I know that's my seventh favorite Kentucky fan, so I hope you're doing well tonight. I've really missed you all year. I'm so excited for Red Blue Hoops.
That didn't make
my
any
number one
sense,
question
Shooter.
To you. My number one question to you, Evan, is obviously Kentucky has a lot of young kids, and the kids that are returning really didn't have a huge part in what Kentucky's doing. And I happen to agree with you. Do you think Kentucky's a tad bit overrated? And I would say even Indiana's even a little bit overrated so far to this point this year. And if Indiana-Kentucky were to play right now, I don't know how that game would turn out. So that's the first question I wanted to pose your way. And then the second one is, how do you feel about Penny Hardaway being at Memphis, taking all the top recruits on top of Coach K? Kentucky is in the mix for Matthew Hurt and some other people I saw, but they are really losing out on the recruiting battle. I think that also has to psychologically affect Cal, and he even admitted the other day that he's not as a good recruiter as what people think he is. So I wanted to get your take on that before I attack Chad and his 25-6 record for Indiana, which is one of the most craziest things I've ever heard, given how strong the Big Ten is this year.
Well, real quick, we've got about 90 seconds before our first break, but I'll go into the recruiting situation. You know, Penny Hardaway has been hired as the Memphis basketball coach, and he landed a local kid by the name of James Wiseman.
That he coached.
That he coached in AAU ball.
Yeah.
It didn't really shock me. I don't think it shocked Walker.
No.
Before he was hired, Kentucky was definitely leading for his services, so I think that's just a circumstantial loss in the recruiting battle. No question. We have not signed as many top five elite players the past 3 years as we have in the past, but it's not due to lack of effort. I mean, Bagley went to Duke, Zion went to Duke, R.J. Barrett went to Duke, and we were recruiting R.J. and Zion really hard. So it is what it is.
Do you pay more money? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so.
Just for this class, I saw a statement today that Wiseman's probably ranked third as a big man in this class.
Wow.
For college.
Gotcha.
He's got Vernon Carey and Isaiah Stewart ahead of him.
Which Carey just committed to Duke
yep.
today.
Yeah. So recruiting's a very hard business to stay on top. But, hey, as we stand today, I think we have the third-ranked class. The teams ahead of us have six players. We only have three. And we're in really good shape with some other top players. So with Cal Perry's recruiting, you never can assess it until the spring.
Absolutely, when people
of 19.
Leave.
So,
and, yeah.
So real quick, back. What was his first question about the overrated?
I guess just and go. Let's talk about if Kentucky and Indiana played.
Do I think if Kentucky's overrated? I think they started overrated based on how we're playing defense. Obviously, we've only lost one game. We're currently ranked about 10th in the AP, but in KenPom, 15. I question 15 because of our defense, but I will say this. There's not that many what I call really good teams in college basketball this year. So if Kentucky can shore up the defense, maybe we could be competitive. And IU, Kentucky headed off right now, I think it would be an ugly game.
It could
very
well. Yeah, it would.
I really do.
Be a close game. I agree.
I was going to say, like, Purdue is thought to be a good team coming this year, and they're 5-3 to start out the year with Carson Edwards.
I think that was debatable because he's all they got. But
I know.
Yeah.
Tell you what, folks, Shooter, hang on the line. We got to go to our first break. This is Red Blue Hoops on WNIN 88.3. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Wealth Advisors. German American Wealth Advisors help accumulate and grow the wealth of individuals, families, and businesses with a mutual relationship based on trust and respect. Learn more at GermanAmerican.com.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3 and live streaming on WNIN.org. We have Chad Payton in the house tonight, intern Walker Beck.
How's it going?
Maria and Berger behind the glass having a great show. Just finished our first caller of Season 5, Shooter.
Yeah.
I still don't understand. He said, Evan, you're my favorite Kentucky fan. That's the seventh Kentucky fan. What's that riddle?
I don't understand that either.
Tell you what.
A derivative or something.
To get past that, let's go back to the phone lines. I think this is a famous young lady from Newburgh, Indiana.
I like it.
Potentially a Chargerette. Is this Sophie Gray?
It is.
Sophie, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. I love it.
Hi.
How are you doing out there tonight?
Good. How are you?
We're doing wonderful.
Oh, good.
Good evening.
Well, I can't talk super long because I'm actually walking into the high school right now to dance at the girls' game there.
Awesome.
But I did have one question I wanted to get your opinions on.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so we're not even, like, super far into the season yet, and Romeo has already proven to be a super nice asset to IU.
Absolutely.
So do you think that he's going to stay another year, or do you think he's just going to book it on out of there and get into the NBA?
Sophie, this is your buddy Evan. There is not a chance that Romeo is on your campus next year when you're a freshman at IU.
You know, that's what I was really hoping for.
No, it doesn't happen that way.
We throw this out there now.
Oh, come. Are you? He's projected top five.
He's falling.
Oh.
He's falling. He's down about 18. 12.
What?
Yeah, I mean.
No.
Yeah, I've seen, him, I've seen him anywhere from 5 to 12.
This is chaos. WNIN Studio has
Why would I lie
lost
about that?
Off the rails.
No.
I don't think so, Sophie. He'll be in the NBA
I heard
next
that
year.
Him and Trace Jackson made a deal and –
Oh, my gosh.
And then
gosh.
The next night, he's up there watching – him and Finnessy are watching Trace Jackson and Armand Franklin play high school basketball. So
okay.
We'll see.
All right.
I'm not betting you on that, though.
Okay. Anything else, Sophie?
No, that's it. We're good.
Sophie, appreciate your support of our show. Have a great
Absolutely.
Night at Castle.
Thank you very
All
much.
Right.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Wow. Hey, I will say this. Romeo's good at basketball.
Well,
that's
he
That's why
should
he's
be.
Leaving.
Yes, I know.
That's why he's leaving.
Good. Oh, let's talk about Romeo. This is on our field notes coming in here tonight.
Absolutely.
We talked about it off the air. So, you know, I run across a lot of Indiana fans, some at work, some outside of work.
Yep.
And I would say more than half of your fan base I've talked to have been a little bit frustrated with Romeo so far this season.
I would agree with that.
And I'm like calling time out on all of them saying, hold on, guys. Romeo's playing fantastic for your squad.
He is. He's playing really well.
And it's something that I had to learn myself with all the one and dones at Kentucky is just because they're ranked a top player coming out of high school and they're projected in the top 5 or 10 in the draft doesn't mean they're that good at this exact moment.
Yep.
He is still a freshman.
Yep.
Here recently, he's starting to show the ability to make some really big plays in key moments.
5-star.
So,
pro.
If you're an Indiana fan saying you're a little bit disappointed with Romeo, I think you need to go have your brain checked out a little bit.
Let me throw one thing on that. So, the fan base of Indiana, to be the coach in Indiana, you got to be able to outcoach and outplay, and the players have to be able to outplay the fan base. And what I mean by that is we all grew up watching basketball in the state of Indiana. A lot of Kentucky fans could say the same thing. So you're watching Romeo, and I'm not on that camp. Romeo's a stud, playing well. But you watch some of these games, and it takes 7 minutes for Langford to take a shot. Sometimes he looks tentative to not want to take over the game, and we got him up there to do that. So as the season progresses, I think it's going to lean more to where – It's Romeo's team, and Juwan is the secondary piece versus it's Juwan's team and Romeo is. And I think they're going to work well together and figure that out. We're going to be fine. Romeo's a stud. I have no issues with him.
I think he's playing fantastic.
He is.
Walker.
Playing great.
I was going to say, to help his draft stock, he needs to improve his three-point pursuiting.
That's why he's falling. That's why I've seen him be falling in the draft.
I'd be willing to bet anybody his percentage will go up by February.
It will.
Yeah, it's 26 right now.
26%?
Yes.
But looking into
some of the shot selection by him.
But let me ask you guys a question.
Yep.
I know Romeo hit a lot of threes in high school, but what do you think his percentage was from three in high school?
34.
Yeah, 35%.
Yeah.
So I think there was some folks were thinking he was a 50% shooter from three. He's not that,
no.
But he's probably a better shooter than what he's shown so far.
Well, I think the kid's a stud. I think
he's
playing great. I think the Indiana fans needed just to relax a little bit on
a few
on
of the
Romeo.
Indiana fans, not
yeah,
all.
Not all, but I will say over half the ones I hear from
are
questioning Romeo's, even his effort. I'm like, well, some kids – play hard, but they look smooth doing it.
And he's that guy.
He is that guy. Now, back to Romeo's recruiting.
Okay.
I was told.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
From an absolute, very reliable source from here in Evansville, Indiana, that I won't tell the details because it may reveal too much, but Bill Self says Romeo was for sure going to Kansas until the FBI story broke. That's from Bill Self, out of his mouth.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bill's probably paying them a bunch of money.
Maybe right? So. Is Kansas an Adidas school?
They are.
Yes.
Is it Indiana an Adidas school?
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh. But you sent an article out last night by Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports. What did that say, Chad?
It said that the NCAA is not going to work on any of this stuff until the season's over, and they'll figure out where they're going from there, which basically, in my opinion, means it's nothing.
Well, been a lot of talk about all this stuff. And
oh, we got some Twitter line stuff, too.
Oh, that's so right.
We got a phone call, though.
Let's go back to the Lions. I think we have Wayne. Wayne, welcome to Season 5, Red Bull Hoops. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good to hear you back on the radio station. That's great. Just first thing I'd like to say is, I talk about basketball, I'd just like to just give a congratulations to Evan and obviously Walker on him signing to Murray State.
That's right.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And congratulations to both of you and your families. I think that's fantastic to see local talents get rewarded. So I think that's wonderful.
Thank you very much, Wayne. I really, really appreciate that. A lot of hard work went into that commitment to Murray State for Walker to play golf down there.
I'm sure that makes you as a proud papa just to know that he's at your alma mater, right?
Absolutely. He's actually, real quick, Walker's now fourth-generation Murray State racer. My wife's grandparents met there. My wife's parents met there. Allison and I met there. So the pressure's on Walker to meet a wife down there.
That is a lot of pressure.
Oh, my God.
He is Mr. Castle, though.
Oh, how about that?
He needs to tell people that when he goes down
That's
there.
Right. This is not the intern. This is Mr. Castle.
Yep. That's me.
Fist bump.
Wayne, how about your Hoosiers
this
year?
Hey, the thing I wanted to say is I know you guys have talked about Romeo and Bill Self, and Chad can contest to this. Chad, what did I tell you about Romeo last January?
Yeah.
Remember, I told Chad Payton, and he can vouch for me, I told him in January that Romeo was going to IU. So Kansas was not in the equation.
Okay. Yeah, he had and Wayne had actually some sources that were pretty legit. And the tea leaves and the dominoes really fell after Wayne talked about that. So
that's awesome. I'm glad you guys got him. Hometown hero.
Yeah, it's definitely helped us a lot. I think one thing I'll say about Indiana is that me and Chad, we've had this conversation. It is time for Romeo. It's Juwan Morgan's a great player, but Romeo is still heads above better than anybody else on that team.
Yep.
He needs to take over some games, and that's really where we're at. We've had a lot of injuries. I'm pretty tough on Archie Miller because I don't think we really
just a little bit.
Not really played the way I think we should have played so far. I thought we should have won at Arkansas. I was actually at the Duke game. I went to the Duke game.
Yep.
I didn't think that we would get beat as bad as we did. But, Duke, I mean, Zion Williams is just a heads above better than anybody else is on the court.
He is. Just stud.
And R.J. Barrett.
Yeah.
Barrett – I will say this, Duke's very beatable, and I think Duke will have some games where they'll get beat. I know they've already been beat by Gonzaga, but, you know, Zion Williams is just a heads above better than anybody else. And you can see Barrett, when he's not getting his shots, he's got to get his points. And I think that could be a
he's a little James Harden, kind of a black
yeah.
hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the end of the
guys,
Gonzaga game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just good to hear you guys back on the – lines again, and on the radio station. So I'm looking forward to it. Just congratulations to you and your family.
Hey Wayne. Wayne.
Yep.
You're going to be at the Louisville game Saturday. Give us just a quick prediction.
I think IU's going to get it done. I think it's going to be a close battle, and I think that UK fans will root for IU because they hate Louisville.
All right. I don't know about that, but Evan, you can chime in on that one.
I will. Kentucky split as a state. In fact, Kentucky Sports Radio did some research on that, and it's all geographically based. So the southeast portion of the state, their biggest rival is Tennessee. Louisville and Lexington's Louisville.
Yeah.
For the western part of the state, for me growing up, our biggest rival and most hated team was IU. But you know what? It was really because of Bob Knight.
Right.
At that point in time, back in the 70s, what really put the gas on the fire was around the 75 to 79 time frame. We beat you guys in the regional finals. That pissed off Bob. But then the night that Bob slapped Joby Hall in the back of the head of that
game.
I
don't know that story. So
there's a whole book written on it.
Is that right?
Yeah. You can see all the pictures. You can just Google it online. You can read about it. So, and they were buddies. They used to fish together a lot.
That's what he said.
And Joe B was questioning a call, and they come up there down the court, and Bob slaps him in the back of the head. And after that, because Joe B was a three-piece suit gentleman, great, very, very much a gentleman, and it just lit our fan base up. But back to Kentucky Sports Radio, the number one hated team is Duke. I think Indiana finished like fifth or sixth on that
chart.
Having some success to move up that chart.
Yeah, but Wayne, great to hear from you, man. Appreciate the call.
Hey, see you guys.
Yeah, see you, man.
So you guys host Louisville this weekend.
We do,
and they're playing better than I think anyone thought.
Maybe Michigan State.
Yeah, beat Michigan State.
Chris Mack's a good coach.
One of our regular callers and Twitter fans, Jim Godsey,
Jim,
was at the Louisville-Michigan State game, sitting about 10th row baseline adjacent to the Louisville bench, and that was a heck of a game.
Interesting fact for the Red Blue Hoops fans with Chris Mack, he did start his college career at the University of Evansville. He was on the 89 team that won a game in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, so good ball player.
He was.
Yeah, we have any Twitter action?
We do. So Mr. Brian Myrick's got a question.
Oh, Brian Myrick, part of the Woodward team.
Absolutely. He's asking me my thoughts on Justin Smith, and he says, I've never seen someone look so lost after looking incredible the year before. And Brian is spot on. The term lost, I've heard a ton. And, I think water does find its level. I've heard people say that I've heard people say, take him out of the starting lineup. He's not performing. But as Brian alluded to, he played really well last year. He was a four-star kid. He's a good,
very
good recruit.
Athletic.
He is.
Strong.
He's got a 48-inch vertical.
Yep.
So watching the game the other night, interesting stat line for him. 0 points, had 9 rebounds. So that's something to build on.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the game, he is getting some tough matchups. And what I mean by that is on like who's guarding him. He's probably a 4, really. Juwan's the 5, I guess, if you want to say that. But what teams are doing is they're putting their 4 on Juwan because Morgan can dribble a little bit. They want to have quicker folks on him. Well, Smith is getting the center on him, and Smith does not have the ability to drive around them. So he also is not being able to play through them and finish through contact.
And he's creating some turnovers.
Exactly. Yeah. He's not strong with the basketball. So Archie needs to find a way to get him some confidence, get him some easy buckets, because I do think when I said the term water finds its level, I think he'll start playing better. I feel he'll come back. So that's where I'm at with that.
Well, he's a sophomore.
He is.
When I was growing up, way before the one and done was so prevalent, and Joby Hall was our coach, there was an annual assessment. We always had a sophomore go into a sophomore slump.
Yep,
at Kentucky.
You hear that. Yep.
Now, I really don't understand why that was so predominant back then, but this translates into kind of a good segue, Chad. I was going to talk about Kentucky sophomores along the same lines as Justin Smith. So one reason people were so high on our team is we had 3 kids come back this year as sophomores that played a lot of minutes for us last year. That's Nick Richards, Quade Green, and P.J. Washington, all 3 of which have been very inconsistent this year. And add those 3 veterans. It's hard to say sophomores are veterans, but at Kentucky they are. And then you add that transfer Reed Travis from Stanford, 2-time All-Pac-10 team or All-Pac-10 team player. So we thought we had a good core group of veterans there. Well, so let's go down that list there. Nick Richards, he only played 1 minute this past Saturday against UNC Greensboro.
No kidding.
Now, this is a kid last year on the road at West Virginia, played really, really well. Started showing signs last year of some great
Is he a kid that hasn't played basketball very long? Like he started like a late bloomer type
from the
kid
Bahamas
or
Jamaica or somewhere.
Yeah.
He was
from down there, but
yeah, he was a late. Yeah, exactly.
7 foot, right?
He shows flashes of kind of a Willie Cauley-Stein athleticism.
Yes.
But Willie, when he was at Kentucky, had a little bit of a slow start to his career, but Willie became an All-American. Okay.
He did. I don't even think he averaged double figures.
He averaged 9 a game.
That's right.
But because of his defense,
yes,
he could guard a point guard. Anyone on the floor, he could do it. Nick can't do that.
I remember when he ran over Montrezl Harrell in Louisville and grabbed
him.
That was actually pretty awesome.
It was. Then you have Quade Green, extremely inconsistent performer this year. He's a point guard. He played really limited minutes this past Saturday because he can't guard anybody. And defense is mainly learning a technique, and then it's all about effort. So as a sophomore under Cal Perry, being such a good defensive coach, you would think someone like Quade Green would be better defensively right now, and he's not. And so Cal's looking at him saying, I got to play Ashton Hagans because Ashton can guard.
Yep.
And he held that really good player Alfonso from UNC Greensboro last week who lit us up in the first half. Hagans held him to, I think, one basket in the second half. So Quade's got to see the light and step up defensively. Now PJ. PJ was a stud late last year. And he looks kind of not lost. That's the wrong word. He kind of looks unplugged at times out there. A little bit kind of like Rex Chapman says, too cool for school. That's exactly what Rex said this past weekend about PJ. Kind of, I'm here, I'm a stud. But I've heard
he was a McDonald's All-American, wasn't he?
Yeah, I've heard another assessment, though. Reed Travis is now playing the role that PJ played last year, and they're trying to get PJ on a more perimeter-oriented type game for his NBA prospect. So PJ's playing out of position a little bit right now, so I think his confidence is waning a little bit there. But anyway, sophomore slumps
absolutely.
Are prevalent
absolutely.
On both squads. So So anyway, guys, you can give us a call. Our listeners, phone lines are open at 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops. Kim Payton, you got to keep your streak going.
Oh.
I know.
And she still owes me dinner.
She does.
We're going to 3 seasons now. She still owes us dinner.
That's poor planning on your part.
My part?
Yeah.
She brought that up. I talked to her earlier in the week. She's like, Evan's going to bring up that.
Oh, yeah. I don't forget stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Got about 1 minute for our next break, Chad. So let's talk about something that Kentucky actually does well.
All right, let's do it.
They're an excellent rebounding team.
That's a good thing.
And an excellent free throw shooting team.
That's a great thing.
I know you wish you had that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Gosh.
Can you believe this is one thing that will help us later in the year, but our rebounding margin 17 a game.
Okay.
Big number.
That's a huge number.
And
that's Michigan State type stuff.
It is. And our free throw shooting percentage, 75.2. I mean, I'm impressed with those two numbers. So, again, if we can play some better defense, get a three-point shooting up a couple of basis points, I think we'll be a more competitive team. And, you know, one thing that we're seeing right now is the SEC is not as good as we thought they were.
Sure.
So maybe we can go on a run. So I'll tell you what, folks, we're going to take our last break of the night. We'll be back. Phone lines are open at 812-426-7400. This is Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at germanamerican.com.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Season 5 of Red Blue Hoops here on your WNIN 88.3 and live streaming on WNIN.org. Chad, Walker, this is Evan. Again, fifth season already, Chad.
Season 5. Last year we had a live remote. I mean, this thing is growing, and I think we're going to probably do that again, right?
Hey, Mr. Berger, do we have thumbs up again on a live remote this season?
Believe
that was one. I want double thumbs up. Double thumbs. Let's go. All right. There we go.
He's
double thumbs
it.
Up.
We
live
got
remote.
It.
Yeah, live remote last year was fantastic.
It was. It was a great
lot
event.
Of fun. And had a lot of Red Blue Hoops listeners and fans ask about that during the offseason.
Yep.
So we were talking about a couple of things that Kentucky actually does well this year, rebounding and free throw shooting. They do score. Okay. We'll do a little bit of a quiz here, Chad.
Uh-oh.
I want you to do, just real quick, I'm going to run down Kentucky's roster.
Yep.
Give me a couple of words of your assessment of each player. All right? Nick Richards, sophomore Nick Richards.
Sophomore slump, struggling.
Well, here's a kid we haven't talked about yet, E.J. Montgomery.
I don't know much about him. Has he been in and out of the lineup? He's a five-star guy, a late pickup for you guys.
He's averaging 20 minutes a game, but his minutes are on the increase. He's taking Nick's minutes.
Okay.
And my phone's ringing. It says Japan. We won't take that call tonight. But
people calling.
Kenny
Japan.
Payne compared E.J. Montgomery to a Sam Perkins type player.
That's a good comparison.
So,
yeah,
a really good skill set both inside and out.
Okay.
Okay, Emmanuel Quickley, point guard.
Point guard. Is he your start? I think he's your starting point guard, is he not?
He is starting. Yep.
I mean, that's
he
I heard point guard play has been an issue for Kentucky.
Coming out of the Bahamas, he played really well down there. I think he had like 19 assists, only 2 turnovers down there. Hasn't translated to consistent play yet, but let me asterisk both him and Hagans. You can go back and have about, see, this is Calipari's 10th year at Kentucky. You can go back to Derrick Rose at Memphis and also, Tyreek Evans. Some of these point guards, folks, don't click until after the turn of the year.
Yep.
I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander this time last year was just barely starting to break out.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I'm still patient with those young guys
yep.
at point guard. Okay, we've already talked about Quade Green. How about Tyler Hero?
He's got some swag. I like him. I watched him down in the Bahamas. He had a couple jams. He was confident. A buddy of mine that went to the Duke game said before that game he was watching him and he was hitting every shot in the pregame warm-ups
yep.
and then
yep.
went out and missed some shots and his confidence went
yep.
down. And I think he's been up and down the whole year for you. Would you agree
he
with
has,
that?
He is starting to show more consistency the last couple of games, so we hope we continue to see that out of him.
Yep.
He's only shooting 32% from three, and we expect him to be around the 40-41
sure.
mark. So,
sure.
Okay, we've already touched on P.J. Washington's. We beat that dead horse.
Yep.
Reed Travis,
big kid. I think he's played fairly well for you, but he's been maybe a little up and down statistically. Is he a double figure guy?
He's always 17-10 kind of guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's doing what he did at Stanford.
Yeah, he's starting to show the potential of being a night in night out double double guy, points and rebounds. Keldon the Dog Johnson,
great player. I watching the Duke game. He was one of the guys that did not care about Duke being out there on the court. He was confident. I think he had 23 points in that game.
Yep.
And I like his game. He's a lottery pick, I would assume.
I agree with you. Ashton Hagans.
He's the late point guard you got late,
yep.
right, in July.
Yeah,
he's
the reclassified kid from Georgia.
He's 18, 17
years old. Yeah,
he's
a young
old.
Kid.
It's because Tom Crean went there.
Yeah, because Mark Fox got fired. It opened up his recruitment.
Okay.
And so, but he reclassified to get to Kentucky this year. He is our defensive stopper. He proved it last week against Greensboro when he
good.
Shut down the Alfonso kid in the second half. So that's the rundown of the roster. Then we left off one name.
Brad.
Brad, thankfully, has redshirted this year to work on his three-point shooting because
be
his
huge.
Career three-point shooting percentage, folks.
17%?
It's 15.
Oh,
and
I was
every time they're on TV, the TV announcers say, "Oh, Brad Calipari is the best 3-point shooter on the team." No, he's not. He's not.
He was
anyway,
in the Bahamas.
That's killer.
He's terrible.
He went like 10 for 10.
Terrible. He's more concerned about his fashion than he is about his hoops.
He does wear some interesting things. I've seen some.
The
Twitter
reason he redshirted, folks, he's going to end up getting a master's degree at UK. So, and there's a rumor that he wants to get into coaching, so he wants to spend some more time with his dad. So
he
we'll see what
the
happens.
Next
I think we'll go back to the hotline.
Coach.
Is that right,
we
Mr.
have
Berger?
Somebody?
Oh,
Johnny Versace, I recognize
this
the
is
name.
A very important person right here calling in. We have to thank our friends at German American Bank for sponsoring Season 5 of Red Blue Hoops.
Yep.
They stepped up and sponsored Season 4. This is Johnny Versace, the big boss at German American. Go ahead, John.
Evan, Chad, thank you guys for bringing the show back this year.
Absolutely. Thanks for all your support, man.
Oh, are you kidding me? This is awesome. I'm glad you guys got a show in before the holidays.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we worked hard on getting that show in here tonight, John.
I tell you, you're going to have to get Berger. He's going to step it up a little bit.
I concur.
Producer.
he's not looking – uh-oh. He's giving me thumbs down. he can hit the cut button back there quick. Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to start a petition tonight.
All right.
We got to get Walker's graduated as an intern.
Uh-oh.
He's got to be at least the assistant producer.
Whoa, Berger, is that possible? Uh-oh, we're taking it under consideration, John. There's a lot of discussion behind the glass.
Walker
right
has
now.
A big smile on his face. Give us something, man.
I mean, maybe.
Hey, he's the longest-running intern in history right now.
Yeah, you're right, the longest-running intern.
He is.
That's awesome. Well, we'll work on that, John. I like that idea.
Well, hey, you guys have sized up the teams, and I think one of the earlier callers was talking about who would be the better team this year. I think the thing is, we got to bring the game back.
Yes.
We got to get the IU-Kentucky game back on the schedule.
It's going to happen next year, I think.
I hope so.
I'm thinking it's a very good opportunity.
They should play it here.
I'm sorry?
They should play it here.
Evansville,
Ford Center? Why not?
Well, John, here's the thought. If we do get the game back in the schedule, we're going to take a Red Blue Hoops bus to the game and do a live remote from the game.
Gosh.
How crazy would that be? Seriously.
How awesome would that be?
But we would have to have some sort of security on the bus because, to my knowledge, there's never been a charter bus with Indiana Kentucky fans on at the same time.
I don't think so.
That would be rough. So we may have to think twice.
Here's what we'd have to do. It'd have to be like the stadium. All the IU fans are on one side.
Yeah.
And all the Kentucky fans are on the other. Right.
With the curtain in between.
In the
yeah.
I don't think I could ride 3 hours on the bus with Shooter.
Yeah, I think that would be problematic.
I don't think Shooter's invited on that trip.
He might not be. That's true.
So, John, who's your favorite Kentucky player this year so far, if you have one?
You know, I think it's Kelvin.
Yeah, the dog. Yeah, I call him the dog.
I like Hero, too, because I like his aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. I like both of those guys' aggressiveness.
John, Tyler Hero, his aggressive mindset for shooting reminds me of you back at the YMCA days. Never met a shot you didn't like.
That's right.
John
well,
can fill it up.
Shoots, right?
Yeah, that's right. John, you could outshoot Brad Calipari, I guarantee it, today.
Hey, you know the thing about Brad? He may not be the best three-point shooter on Kentucky's team, but he's the most popular three-point shooter on Kentucky's team.
Oh, you're right about that.
That is right.
You're exactly right about that.
The crowd goes crazy if he hits one.
I know.
Well, it only happens 15% of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was at a game last year. He wasn't in the game 20 seconds. Knocked down a three. I think he thought the heat was on.
Yeah.
A couple times back down the court, they got him the ball again. He shot an air ball.
Uh-oh. That's why his shoot percentage is 15%.
That's right.
That's
goodness
good,
gracious. Actually. All right, John, anything else, buddy?
No. Hey, Evan, just one thing is it was nice to see reminisce today on the picture of the ice bowl, right?
Oh, my gosh. 5 years ago tonight.
Is that crazy?
John and his wife, Allison, myself, and two other couples, we made our way to Dallas for Kentucky versus Baylor doubleheader. Kentucky women's team played Baylor and Kentucky men's team. It was a massive ice storm. We were supposed to have a two-hour flight, Evansville to Dallas. It took John and his wife and Allison and me 27 hours to get to Dallas.
No way.
Yes.
Didn't the girls seem to
I had to spend the night in Houston.
Overtime?
It was like planes, trains, and automobiles times 10.
Oh, what a good movie. That's pretty funny.
5 years ago tonight, we end up losing like at midnight.
No kidding.
The girls' game looked like three,
girls'
four
game
times?
Went triple overtime or something.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I saw some people overserved at that game.
Absolutely.
Yep. Good memory, John. Hey, thanks for the call. Look forward to
Hey, guys. Thanks for the show.
Absolutely.
Thanks
Take care, man.
Thanks for the support.
All right. See you guys.
See ya.
Yeah, that was crazy, dude. The van ride from the airport to our friend's house that we were staying in Dallas was insane bad. I mean, every interstate
So
was,
that was in early December, huh?
Yep.
2013.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Unreal. That was a great call by Johnny Versace.
He's awesome, man.
German American Bank, our show sponsor.
Yep.
So I'll tell you what, we're going to switch gears real quick before we run out of time, Chad. You're a big football fan, big college football fan.
I am.
And you're one of these odd college fans that the Hoosiers aren't your favorite football team.
I wouldn't say odd. That's very common around here.
Very common in Indiana, not so much in Kentucky.
And here's why. I mean, these guys growing up like myself, Notre Dame football had the NBC contract. They were always on.
Yep.
My dad You still do, absolutely. And back then, you didn't have ESPN and all the different stations. So, yeah, I'm one of those guys. Dad taught me Notre Dame football and Indiana basketball, and that's what we rode with. So,
well, real quick, we're going to come back to that. We're going back to the phone lines. We have Krista on the phone. Krista, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hi, Evan and Chad. How are you guys?
Oh, well. No way. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Good to hear from you.
It's great to hear your voice too, Krista. Chris is a big IU fan.
Really?
And a great friend of mine.
All right. That's good.
Yep.
Big IU fan. So, I, Chad, I lean toward your answers, but...
I like it.
You know, well, both of you guys have referenced to Evan in the very beginning of the show about how getting beat down by Duke at the beginning of the season is emotionally tough on the teams. And you know, I come from the Bobby Knight era, and I know how Bobby Knight encouraged his teams to, you know, move on, get over it.
Yep.
And I'd like to hear how you guys compare the current coaches and how they're going to get their teams over a big defeat and move on and face the season.
Well, I tell you one thing. That's a great question, Krista.
It is a good question.
Back in those days, before the one and done, it was a lot different, a lot more veteran teams, especially for Kentucky, because they've been so one-and-done oriented. Cal Perry, I do know for a fact, he's more of a, hey, it's November, we got smoked, got to get up tomorrow, get out of bed, and work hard. That's how he's been handling it. But I can tell you that his young guys were shell-shocked that night, for sure. So it's been taking longer than normal to get over this defeat by Duke.
Well, on Indiana's end, I would say the same thing. It was a unique time for us because Indiana's so banged up. You couldn't tell with that Duke game what we had to offer. We didn't play well, but with that being said, I mean, Archie, I think, got the guys ready to go for the next two games. We won those two Big Ten games, which were huge. So I think we're past that. Looking back at history, it is only December, and if we're playing better in March,
that's the goal.
And that is the goal. So I think we're going to be fine.
Krista,
great
question. Krista, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it.
Hey, all right. Well, I'm obviously cheering for the IU team, but appreciate both of you guys' input on the radio.
All right,
you
take care.
Much.
Call
Go
it
losers.
Again. Yep, take care. It's awesome.
Bye, guys.
All right,
see ya.
All right, down to our last 70 seconds, Chad. So back to football real quick. You're in the playoffs this year.
We are. Notre Dame football's
against
in the playoffs.
Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson is a 12-point favorite. Notre Dame's going to win that game.
Okay.
And Oklahoma's going to beat Alabama.
Wow.
And Notre Dame's going to win the national championship.
Oklahoma's going to beat Alabama.
They are 42-38. Notre Dame, a 4-point win, and get the elusive national championship. It's been 30 years.
Well,
just like IU football or IU basketball. Very, very, very paralleled teams there.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not saying IU's going to get that. I'm just like, we're parallel.
It's too bad Georgia couldn't make it. I mean, obviously they lost to LSU earlier this year, but, man, that game the other night was one of the best college
games
I've ever seen. And the storyline of Jalen Hurts coming back.
Awesome.
And he played phenomenal.
He did.
Incredible. Okay, folks, some real quick show notes. This is a special show tonight. We will be back on January the 3rd with our regular run of shows for the rest of the season heading into March Madness. We really appreciate your all's listening and support.
Thank you.
And this is Evan and Walker and Chad signing out. Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
Go Merry Hoosiers.
Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. Maria Thomas is the technical director. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of the WNIN staff or board of directors, or for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans. Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank.